Mr. President, I am an American lawyer, and I represent surviving family members of a U.S. diplomat who was murdered near Tbilisi in 1993. It was November 2004, and Mikhail Saakashvili had just finished 2 hours of remarks in the Tbilisi State University auditorium. 12 months earlier, this 36-year-old former justice minister had scrambled to the front of a popular revolt in the former Soviet Republic of Georgia. In a made-for-TV moment, he handed his predecessor a rose and demanded that the old man quit elected office. Riding a wave of patriotic euphoria, Misha, as he was popularly known, had been elected president of the tiny Eurasian nation and given a mandate to lurch toward the West. The young chief executive felt comfortable with the invitation-only crowd and agreed to take a few questions from the audience. I had tagged along with 2 guests in hopes of having a few minutes with a minor government official. The opportunity to talk to the president himself was too good to pass up. The murdered diplomat was Freddie Woodruff, a 45-year-old former preacher with a gift for languages. I remembered him mostly as the strawberry blonde older brother of one of my junior high classmates. He was a Bible major who played college football, and in my world, that made him a Samson-like hero. But those who knew him better recalled a more complicated character. As one of his friends told me, Freddie was an extraordinarily outgoing individual, seductive on many different levels. He had an intuitive sense of what people wanted, and he used it to manipulate them. But somehow, with Freddie, you just didn't mind. I raised my hand and was chosen to address the president. The question before mine had provoked enthusiastic applause from the 1,500 in attendance. What wonders would Saakashvili do in the second year of his administration to match the glories he had accomplished in the first year? The response to me was less congenial. The crowd seemed to hold its collective breath and look to the president for cues on how to react. His displeasure was apparent. He was not happy to receive an unscripted question from a soft-spoken foreigner on live national television. We have obtained evidence proving that Anzor Sharmaidze, the young Georgian man who was convicted of killing the American diplomat, is completely innocent, I said. An ominous murmur rolled over the crowd of handpicked supporters. I focus my mind on the job at hand. Be polite, be respectful, be careful. My clients have sent me here to present this evidence and to ask the Georgian government to honor the promises made during the Rose Revolution. They have sent me here to ask you, Mr. President, will you let this innocent man go free? The crowd's murmur became a grumble. The president's scowl became a glare. One of Saakashvili's American-trained bodyguards stepped in front of me and put his hand on his gun. I felt the tingle of panic creeping up the back of my neck. Saakashvili's answer was a blur of indignation. Georgia is not some third-rate country that can be talked to in this way, he said. We are a small country, but we have our rules and procedures. I'm not some dictator. I don't tell the courts what to do. The president was spitting words at me, but the noise in my head made it hard to hear. His bodyguards had triangulated around me and were poised to spring at the first sign of aggression. I kept my hands in plain sight and tried hard to look benign. Imagine if my friend George Bush delivered a speech and some Georgian lawyer asked him to free a person whose case was being reviewed by an American court, Saakashvili barked. This American lawyer should respect the Georgian system the same way we Georgians respect America's system. The crowd cheered. The president had defended the honor of the plucky little country and address the insult of a stranger's appeal to fairness. Never mind that a grave injustice had been committed against one of their own citizens. No foreign lawyer could be allowed to point it out. A terrible fear squeezed my chest. I was 7,000 miles from home and had just offended the most powerful man in the country. I had unintentionally provoked a lethal adversary and quite possibly killed the man I was trying to liberate. I felt sick with doubt and fixated on a single thought. How the hell did I get myself into this? The answer to that question was 12 years earlier and a world away in Houston, Texas.